baby, baby, let me be your loving teddy bear. Put a chain around my neck and lead me anywhere. Oh, let me be,
oh, let him be
your teddy bear. I don't wanna be a tiger, 'cause tigers play too rough. I don't wanna be a lion, 'cause lions ain't the kind you love enough. But I just wanna be your teddy bear. Put a chain around my neck and lead me anywhere. Oh, let me be,
oh, let him be
your teddy bear.
Oh, there we go. A little bit of Elvis in the morning. That'll wake you up, right? Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis. Thank you for joining us. It is Monday, February the 1st. This year is moving quick, my friends. We will be talking in a few minutes with Wen Fa of the Pacific Legal Foundation. We're going to talk about identity politics. Identity politics, and whether it took a left turn last year after the death of George Floyd. So stick around for that, if you would. And Donald Trump has fired his legal team with 1 week to go before the impeachment effort, the latest impeachment effort. What's he going to do now? And will he make a political comeback when all the dust settles on all of this stuff? Well, we'll talk and ask those questions to the proprietor of Mainstream America's most important poll, the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceresi, a little bit later in the show. And will President Biden, you know how he's using all of these executive authority pronouncements? You know, we're going to do this, then we're going to do that. And you go, well, wait a second, what is Congress for? Has this guy turned into a, you know, a dictator? A one-man band on all of this? Well, will he use his executive power to force the okay of transgenders into opposite bathrooms? Is he going to do that on his own? Well, Chuck Schumer's on board with that idea. And the question is, are the rest of the Democrats going to go along with something like that? We're going to talk about it. And, you know, we've been doing kind of a countdown to the Super Bowl because we're having it right here in our backyard in Tampa. So, in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 most watched Super Bowl games. We'll see if Ed knows what the number one most watched game was. We'll find out about that. He's pretty good. He's been surprising me with his answers. He's pretty good on the Super Bowl. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza that is just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcast Drive. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. By the way, they're open Tuesday through Saturday, so you got plenty of time to get a great haircut. And also, don't forget Good Morning America. That's the show that comes before mine. I said Good Morning America, didn't I? Ed, why do I say Good Morning America? Even Paul said Good Morning America about his own show. It's Good Morning Clearwater. It's Good Morning Clearwater. I got it right in front of me, too, and I said it. Anyway, it's Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network. Paul and Tracy Allen, don't miss them. All right. So, former President Trump yesterday announced that he's got a new legal defense team. He's kind of wiped away the old ones. He's parted ways with five of his lawyers. Now, he's only got just over a week. A week from tomorrow is when the impeachment trial is scheduled to begin in the Senate. So he will now be represented by David Schoen and Bruce Castor Jr. These are trial lawyers. And apparently the other five left over a difference of opinion on the direction of the defense's argument. There is speculation that the Donald wanted them to make election fraud allegations during the trial, and they thought that that was not a good idea. So here's the ones that took off. South Carolina lawyers Butch Bowers and Deborah Barbier, and former federal prosecutors Greg Harris, Johnny Gasser, and Josh Howard. Well, we'll see where all of this goes. We're going to talk with the proprietor of the barber pole a little bit later on this. But I don't know if it's a good idea for Trump to even bring up election fraud. You know, he's out of office. The defense would be he has every right of freedom of speech. He's out of office. All of that good stuff. And, you know, he is almost for sure not going to be convicted. You need two-thirds of the Senate. That would be 67 and 45 out of 50 Republicans. I've already kind of told you they're not going to do it. They're not going to vote for that. So at most, 55, 56, 57, that's not going to do it. You need 67. So he's going to be acquitted. But he continues to make news even when he's not in the White House, does he not? In the meantime, what's going on with the new stimulus package? Are we going to get another $1,400 shot? Ed, did you get the $600? You know, the original $600 check? Did you get that yet?
Yeah.
You got it. Okay.
I'm just wondering if a lot of Americans are going to be upset if the impeachment trial comes up before they get the stimulus pack finished. So they have to push that back after the...
You think they'll push the impeachment trial
can
back?
Can they run both at once? I know they can't walk and chew gum at the same time.
They can't even walk by themselves without chewing gum, in my opinion.
So if they start the impeachment trial again and they haven't finished the stimulus pack, people are going to be upset. Because more money, I'd love to know how much this really costs. What
do they care? It's not their money.
I know, but it just
spending
goes to
other
show
people's
you,
money.
They know it's not going to go through. It's just a personal vendetta. It's like an old girlfriend that won't leave you alone.
Oh, you talk about the impeachment conviction.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere. They're going to alienate half the country.
Yeah, they want.
And I bet there's a lot of Democratic voters that don't want it either.
Yeah. They want to bring us together, yet they're going to keep their ways up. You got Biden signing, you know, stuff. You know, he's signing executive orders like they're blank checks and bad checks.
They probably are bad checks. So there's a group of 10 Republicans that are headed to the White House to talk about dropping the amount of money he does want to spend. You know, he wants to spend about almost $2 trillion again, right? Can you imagine that? We never even spoke of that word, trillion, ever, except in theory back a few years ago. Now trillion, they're throwing trillion around like it's nothing. It's nothing, trillion, you know? They're throwing trillion around like they used to throw billion around. I mean, and nobody cares who's going to pay for it because they don't think anybody's really going to pay for it. They think we're just going to create the money, print the money, and go out there, and somehow people will accept it and everything. One of these days, I don't know, when we don't have anything to back up our money, one of these days it could crash. I kind of wonder what would happen then, you know? It's kind of scary. Oh, well, let us do this. We're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, remember the George Floyd incident, then the demonstrations. And now it's kind of brought back that whole concept of identity politics, racial barriers breaking and, you know, breaking down people based on the color of their skin. Going to talk about all of that with Wen Fa of the Pacific Legal Foundation.
Come fly with me. Let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price.
They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a rather blustery day. By the way, Ed, you'll get a nice kick out of this, probably a laugh. I'm walking along, you know, in the morning I take this little walk around the block. It's almost an eighth-tenths of a mile or something. Anyway, I get hit on top of the head with a small branch from one of the trees. That's how windy it was out there. Have you ever been hit on the head by a branch?
Also the squirrels, because the trees are, the acorns are forming right now.
Yeah.
So the squirrels are going nuts. Literally.
Literally with the acorns.
So, I've walked into it, a whole pile of... Just fell on me, a whole pile of acorns.
Are you trying to say the squirrels are throwing the branches?
I'm saying there's a squirrel out there with a really bad attitude.
Well, it hit me right on top of the head, and fortunately it was small. But it startled me, you know? Oh, my goodness. Anyway, why are we bringing that up? Oh, I guess because I told you it was a windy day. We are delighted to have back Wen Fa. He's an attorney with the Pacific Legal Foundation. And he has penned a piece in The Hill, was 2020, a turning point for identity politics. And Wen talks about, I think, a very interesting concept. After George Floyd and all of that last summer, people talk about, racial barriers and the black and white issue. But instead of being, it's really between what he calls collectivists and individualists. When, welcome back. So tell us, what do you mean by the term collectivists and individualists when it comes to looking at race?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me back.
Oh, our pleasure.
It's always a pleasure to be on the show. What I mean by collectivist versus individualist is that different people have different views on what it means to be equal before the law. There's a collectivist notion, which I think is an incorrect, wrong-headed notion, that equality before the law means proportional representation. So regardless of how many people are qualified for a particular opportunity, how many people even aspire to have a particular opportunity, we all have to have some sort of proportional representation or some government-mandated representation for some opportunity. So to put it concretely, you see recent calls, recent legislation in California, for example, mandating that underrepresented minority or a female person serves on the board of directors of any publicly traded company in California. That's an example of collectivism. Individualism means that the government does not deny opportunities on the basis of race. So in the same instance with the board, with the quota on corporate boards in California, you can think of an instance, for example, in which, there might not be a lot of instances like this, but you can think of an instance in which, everybody who wants to be on the board, who's qualified to be on the board, there isn't a qualified a minority person or woman who would fit the quota on the board. And in that instance, you would deny someone who's better qualified the opportunity just because of her race or his race. And that's the government denial of an individual opportunity based on race or based on gender. That is contrary to individualism. and that is contrary to the notion of equality before the law, which means the government cannot discriminate on the basis of race.
Yeah. I mean, here we go again, going into this whole thing of trying to balance things because of some collective guilt over the way black people were treated many, many, many years ago. That's really what it kind of comes down to. And so in certain ways, we've tried to up the percentages of certain minorities, in particular black and Hispanic, mostly black, I would say, you know, to the detriment of others, including Asians, by the way. They get the short end of the stick when they come over here. Look at Harvard and what they've done in trying to make equality something, you know, when it comes to the student ratios. Yeah, I mean, it lacks any common sense. It actually goes against the constitutional philosophy of our country as well, don't you think?
Well, look, I do think that, you know, America, like many other countries in the world, has had a sordid past with discrimination against individuals on the basis of race. But the way to remedy that is to stop discrimination on the basis of race, not to implement more of it. And when we see these collective notions of racial balancing under the guise of racial equality, you certainly see that it hurts individuals of all races. For example, we represented seven brave black and Hispanic families in Hartford, Connecticut. These were parents whose kids were in failing public schools. They were on the wait list for world-class magnet schools right next door, and these magnet schools had over 1,000 empty seats. But the reasons they could not get into those schools with empty seats was because Hartford, Connecticut, had a racial quota that prevented more than 75% of the seats in the magnet schools to be filled by black and Hispanic students because they wanted to maintain some sort of racial balance. So you see, on the one hand, this collectivist notion of racial balance, racial proportionality. And on the other hand, you see how it hurts individuals, including the black and Hispanic individuals
sure.
that we represented in that Hartford case.
We're talking with Wen Fah. He's an attorney for the Pacific Legal Foundation, talking really about identity politics, which has come back in light of some of the police versus black issues, in particular the George Floyd issue last year. So when are we going to get over this whole concept? Because the more we try to do all of this, the more focus and spotlight there is on your color and my color, or your race and my race. And that I don't think that does anybody any good at all. You know, I would almost rather see people be allowed in businesses and in anything else to individually make decisions on hiring, not hiring, and leave it alone with, you know, well, if I'm a big corporation, I need to have a certain percentage of women here and a certain percentage of minority here. I mean, you get to the point where we're just playing games.
That's absolutely right. You know, race is a immutable characteristic. It's one that the government defines for us in many instances. You know, the government, for example, you mentioned the Harvard case. The government and universities use the word Asian, but that covers 60% of the world's population.
Yeah.
Includes, you know, Chinese Americans, Indian Americans, you know, all sorts of different people. And even within, say, Chinese Americans, Indian Americans, like you said, everybody is unique. We all have our individual aspirations. We all have our individual strengths and weaknesses. None of us are perfect at everything. None of us are, you know, we're all, I think, good at something. And we should be encouraged to make the most of our opportunities and to flourish on our own individual capacities, capabilities, and aspirations, and not have the government dictate what we should and shouldn't do based on the government's definition of our race.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, everybody says this, you know? I mean, if you listen to all the talk shows on television, everybody says that, then they throw a caveat in there, but since this particular group had been discriminated against up until this particular year, we need to make amends, you know? So I go back to this guilt thing, you know? And this, you know, part of it is tearing down statues now. I mean, this is guilt, allowing the tearing down of, you know, some of the people in our historical background Even Abraham Lincoln is being torn down in certain places now because he didn't treat indigenous people correctly, you know, during some of the wars, well, apparently. So this is getting scary and ridiculous.
Well, let me say this. I do think that, you know, there are individuals, you know, Americans, regardless of race, I think a lot of them feel like the government is getting in the way of opportunities that they should have. And I think those are, in many cases, actually legitimate. But the way to fix the problem is not to impose racial quotas on corporate boards. The way to focus to fix that problem is to increase the number of opportunity for the government to get out of the way. For example, you have all these barriers, anti-competitive barriers to entry in the form of occupational licensing and other government regulations that prevent people from starting up a business and succeeding. And that's one of our focuses at Pacific Legal Foundation, is to try to tear down some of those anti-competitive barriers. You know, you have people complain about lack of housing. Well, what's the solution to that? The solution to that is to allow people to build housing, to increase the supply of housing. When you have demand and that demand is met with supply, price goes down. That makes housing accessible to more and more people. And I think that gets away at some of these, you know, splitting the pie debates and gets into more of a expanding the pie debate.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So I don't know where we're going with all of this. Apparently, with the Democrats in power again, the spotlight has been turned on to inequality as they see it, or somebody sees it. I think it's an opportunity just to haul in a lot of money as far as the Democratic Party is concerned, because they will focus on, like you said, I think, in your piece, what people perceive as in their pursuit of the principle of equality before the law. Equality before the law. To some, it's collectivism, and you got to get, the government more involved in making everything equal. And to some, it's individualism, like you say. You know, stop discriminating, allow the individuals to prosper, to flourish, or whatever the word is, right?
That's absolutely right. I do think that there are a lot of policies that are being proposed, and those policies, you know, I think would have the effect of exacerbating the problem of inequality before the law rather than making it better. I think the real solution is to focus on the individual, focus on individual qualities, individual characteristics, individual aspirations, and make it easier for individuals to flourish, whether that's getting a good education, getting career opportunities, building a business, living in a good home. There are ways for the government. What the government should be focusing on is getting out of the way and
exactly.
Making it easier for people to trade and to flourish in the marketplace today.
Yeah, and I think we've talked about this before. We have lost touch with what the federal government was created for. It wasn't created for setting, minimum wages, and sticking its fist into all of these issues. You know, it was there to allow the states and the local municipalities to do all of their work, while they kind of protected our borders, coined our money, and intervened only when two states couldn't agree on what was going on, when there was a state versus state issue. That was kind of the intent of the federal government. We're such a long way away from that now. I mean, my goodness. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say, I think the role of government, whether it be a, there are certain differences between federal and local governments, but the role of government on any level is to protect individual rights. And that's what the government should be doing, to protect individual rights, to protect people, to protect property rights, and to enforce laws, and not to enact laws,
that was not the work of the federal government. All of that can be handled at the state and local governments, protecting those rights. And those governments are closer to the people. The federal government was not in the business of trying to straighten that all out across the country. That was not their job. That was to be handled by the local and state governments. The 9th and 10th Amendments to the Constitution tried to keep the federal government out of those issues, actually. But we, again, we've lost touch with it, you know? We've lost touch with
it. Sure, and, you know, I do take the point that it is traditionally the role of the local and state government. I think it's a separate debate about whether the federal government ever has any role. I think it has a very, very, very limited role in very extraordinary circumstances in protecting individual rights. But regardless, I think the main part for the government that we both agree on is that a government that protects individual rights is much, much more limited at every level than the government that exists today and the government that is being proposed today. And the government should get back to its roots of enforcing equality before the law, of treating people as equal, giving people, not treating people on the basis of race, but allowing them to maximize their opportunity, not discriminating against any individual, and to promote individual flourishing.
Sure. Well, Wen, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Always an interesting conversation, and I really appreciate your time with us. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you again for having me on.
Our pleasure. Wen Fa of the Pacific Legal Foundation. All right. Let us take our break. When we come back, Donald is back in the news, even without Twitter. He's fired his legal team in the latest impeachment effort. What is he going to do now? We'll find out. We'll talk to the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. I said it was kind of a blustery, windy day this morning. It's not that cold out, but my goodness. But I'll tell you where it is kind of cold and snowy right now, I'll bet you. And that's up in Rochester, New York. We're delighted to have both of the Ceresi brothers with us, Andrew the Master Barber and Angelo, our eye in the northern sky. I wanted to ask Angelo right away. Angelo, are you in the midst of a snowstorm or anything?
Well, we've got winter storm warnings in effect right now.
Okay, you haven't got the snow yet?
No, not yet. I guess it's supposed to arrive sometime between middle of the day or tonight and tomorrow morning.
Are you going to get a lot of snow, do you think?
I don't know. It depends. It's a nor'easter, and usually when the nor'easter comes around, we get hit with a lot of snow.
Yeah, I'll
bet you. In fact, when I was a kid, I remember around this time of the year, February 4th, 1966, was the blizzard of 66.
Wow.
And we had, it was the biggest snowstorm I'd ever seen. I mean, we were out of school for over a week, and they had bulldozers trying to get down the street.
I wonder if that was the same snowstorm that hit Chicago, because they absolutely shut down the city right around that same time when I was a kid. I mean, you couldn't go anywhere, not even to the grocery store.
No, it was really the biggest snowstorm I'd ever seen.
Yeah. So, Andrew, we're talking about the weather. What do you want to talk about?
weather, you may as well talk about the weather. It's more exciting, everything that's happening in this country, you know? I mean, you see Donald Trump got a new attorney.
Yeah, I want to ask you, what's going on here? He's firing everybody.
And he got smart. He got smart because when you read off the two last names of the attorneys he's got now, what were they again?
Oh, yeah, let me find it. Oh, boy. Where are we?
I think
oh,
here there.
Yeah, it was the new attorneys are David Schoen and Bruce Castor.
Okay. The name David Schoen. I was always told when you need a lawyer, you get a good Jewish lawyer.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what he did.
Yeah, is Schoen a Jewish name?
That's right.
Okay. Castor.
He got himself a good Jewish lawyer. Yeah. A smart move.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Do you buy into the fact that the other lawyers that he got rid of did not want him to bring up the fact that he thinks he was cheated in the election and they wanted to pursue the fact that he was out of office and he didn't say anything bad to begin with, you know what I mean?
Paul, number one, we already know that they aren't going to convict him. So
right.
You may as well get out there what you want to get out there.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
I've been involved with lawyers before, and they told me to do one thing, and I told them, no, this is what I want you to do.
Yeah.
And because they did what I told them, it was over with quick, and I won.
Yeah. So you knew more than your lawyers, is what you're trying to tell us.
And pardon?
No, that's all right. I said you knew more you knew more than your lawyers. Hey, I want to get back to Angelo because, and this is not funny, but Governor Cuomo of your state, Angelo, is now trying to backtrack and double-talk his way out of this issue that apparently they undercounted the number of people that died in nursing homes from the virus and as much as like 50% more people.
Right.
And he said, well, you know, they were not actually in the nursing home when they died. They were in a hospital. Well, come on. They shipped them over to the hospital because they were dying.
Right. He's trying to use a play on words, just like President Clinton did with the Lewinsky thing, you know? Play on words.
So do you think there's a now they're trying to recall the governor of California, if you've been watching the news.
Right, but we don't have a recall law in New York State.
You don't? Sure,
no.
Can't you recall a governor?
No, not in New York State.
Really?
Well, as far as I know, I could be wrong, but...
I think you can.
You know, if they did, I'd be one of the first in lines to impeach.
I just wonder if there must be a way of recalling somebody that's not doing a good job, like a governor or a mayor. You know what I mean? Maybe there is a different rule in New York.
But I think each state has different laws when it comes to the.
Okay, let's put it this way: is he going to get reelected? Let me ask you that.
I hope not. He, it's up to New York City. There was, you know, upstate New York has never voted for this guy. He's always won in the districts like New York City. That's
yeah.
It.
Right. Okay.
I mean, never has he ever won carried the proper state of New York.
Now, here in Florida, on the other hand, Andrew, we have a governor that hasn't been getting into too much trouble. And we have, I would think we have as many, we may have more people in nursing homes in Florida than they do in New York. I'm sure we do.
Paul. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but they're trying to come after our governor as it is already, the Democrats.
Well, they always will.
It's getting good. I mean, the other day, they sat there and they said that vials are missing and they need to be accounted for. And Governor DeSantis got right on the television and said, I have put these aside so we got enough to give the people who got their first dose their second dose. What good would it be if we gave everybody their first dose and we had no second dose?
Right, right.
So he got that one out of the way.
Yeah.
And then did you hear that the White House wanted Governor DeSantis to close all the bars and all the gyms? And you saw what Governor DeSantis told him, didn't you?
What did he say?
He told him, take the pipe. You ain't doing it.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And you know what? I think we're doing just as well, if not better, than most of these states that are closing up. Angelo, you were going to say something. What were you
going to say? Yes, I'm waiting on my second COVID shot now.
Are you?
Yes, last week my wife and I both got our COVID-19 shots.
Okay. Now
the Moderna one.
Oh.
And my next shot is, hers is February 25th, and mine's on February 26th.
Wow. Okay. So you have to wait at least. Is this because you have to allow for the first shot to take or whatever?
I guess so. This is the two shots. It's Pfizer two-shotter. And Moderna are the.
Now where
ones where you get the two
where,
shots?
Where did you go to get the shots?
We had to go to our grocery store out here in Wegmans. They got the pharmacies.
Yeah.
Doing the thing. You have to get on the internet, and you have to make an appointment, and it goes within. Within minutes, the vacancies fill right up.
So you got on the internet, and you were able to make an appointment, and you go to the grocery to the pharmacy inside the grocery store.
Yes.
Okay.
And then they have your name on the list, and then they ask you all these questions and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to use your Medicare, you know, because it's for 65 and over.
Now, you did not pay anything, correct?
No. It's covered under Medicare.
Right. Right. Well,
quick question, though.
Go ahead, Andrew.
While you're waiting for that second dose, did you happen to take a mirror to look at the back of your head and see if there's any hair growing on that bald spot yet? You need to keep an eye open for that, because I'm looking for the side effects to be positive for this.
So it grows hair as well. Is that right?
Well, you can send me some of your clippings over here. You know?
Okay, so, I mean, now, I know that Andrew is not going to take this shot, at least not yet. Or maybe he'll do it in secret. I don't know. But, Andrew, I don't even know where a person here in Pinellas can go to get the shot. I guess you have to go online if you're willing.
Well, they got 10,000 of them in, I guess, the other day. And this morning they said you got to get on the website. They figured within an hour these 10,000 slots will be gone. And you know, they can only get it out there as fast as they can produce it.
You know,
you got Bubble Biden over there, Bubblehead Biden. They're going to do a million. What is it, a million in the first 100 days, 100 million? How are you going to get the machines to produce that much, you cuckoos?
Well, you know, he's just throwing numbers out. Everybody, I think, kind of realizes.
Oh, this guy is, I'll tell you what.
Hey.
The unions are all PO'd at him because he turned their back at them. These cuckooses voted for him. Then he got them all fired. Did you see in Arizona? Arizona's all upset. Now all of a sudden Maricopa County says we are auditing all these machines 3 months after the election.
Really?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I mean, like you said, Donald Trump is still making the news, and I think there's going to be a lot more news coming out here and there.
I wonder how the people in Pennsylvania feel when they voted him in.
I tell you what.
They're all happy.
Pipeline.
Exactly. I think there's buyer's remorse. Andrew and I talked about it on Friday. There's a buyer's remorse. I think if you went back and had another vote. Here's one other issue. I want both of you to give me an honest opinion. Chuck Schumer says he supports Biden's plan to allow the transgender dealy, where if you're a guy, you can go into a girl, you know, if you feel like a woman. And if you're a girl, feels like a man, the opposite. So here we go again with this stupid issue. I just want to get your thoughts. You know, Chuck Schumer in New York, Angelo, why does he want to even bring this up and talk about it? Doesn't this just divide everybody? I would think right now with the virus, it's the last thing people want to think about.
Well, he's doing just exactly what the Democrats want us to do. They want us to be divided on this. Pushing that issue knows that that's going to divide the country even more.
Why do they want to do that? It's like the minimum wage.
Because this is their ploy. Right out of Saul Alinsky's playbook to divide this country, bring in these controversial issues.
Divide and conquer, yeah.
Divide and conquer.
Andrew?
I mean, this is how the communists do it. The communists, they destroy the statues, they destroy all the infrastructure of our country, which our history is based on, and try to wipe it out so that the regime can, you know, manipulate the people just like they do in Korea and in communist China.
That's very scary.
No difference. And the American people, I hope, wake up and see what's going on. Yeah.
Andrew?
I mean, you got barbed wire enclosing the Capitol now.
I know, yeah.
And they're using this. I mean, the American people shouldn't tolerate this whatsoever.
Andrew, are you going to put a transgender bathroom in there? In that barbershop of yours? I'm waiting for that.
You know, Paul, I sit there and I laugh. They want to have the transsexuals, men and girls sports, girls and men's sports.
That's another thing.
The same bad. You know
this
what?
This is doing, going to do with the women athletes when they have.
I got the answer for that already.
Okay.
You got the men's football league. You got the women's football league. You have the trans football league. What's the difference?
I like it.
Have, you know what I mean? Everybody can be happy.
You know, yeah, we'll have a transnational whatever sport. Not,
and then I can tell you this.
How about a trans Super Bowl sport? I know that Ed would like it. He likes watching the Super Bowl.
I'll tell you what I want to see. I want to see the day when a man walks in the ladies' room to use it and my wife and daughter are in there. I want to be outside the door because it'll be a beautiful sight. You got no idea. Didn't they say that Donald Trump, you know, or the women didn't want to vote for Donald Trump, et cetera, and all this and that, right?
Yeah. Supposedly.
Are the women were saying, remember those two ladies there? Was it Madonna? I want to blow up the White House. And
oh, yeah.
That other one, the actress, I'm a nasty woman, whatever.
Yeah.
And now they want to, the women, they don't even, you know, if they don't recognize gender as women, they're saying that Kamala Harris, the first female black lady to, how can you say that when you don't even believe in that?
You know, it's going to destroy the women's leagues like the women's basketball league, if you can allow transgender. It's going to destroy the track and field competitions.
Everything.
It's going to destroy
women's
everything.
Weightlifting.
And by the way, did they cancel Madonna's Twitter account when she said she wanted to blow up the White House?
No, they gave her more. Yeah, they gave her more space.
There you go.
But it's a two-tiered system in this country right now. I mean, I don't see how the American people are tolerating this. I really don't.
Yeah. Well, as we said, buyer's remorse. Gentlemen, we could go on forever talking about all of this because there's so much. I want to thank both of you for coming on. Angelo, it's always a delight every week to talk with you, and I'm glad to hear you got the shot and you're feeling good, I hope.
Oh, yes. No problem.
Excellent. Well, we'll look forward to it again Monday of next week.
Get that shovel ready, Angelo. You have a shovel ready job.
He's got a shovel ready job. Yeah, there
we
go.
It's ready to go.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Have a good day, Paul.
All right, guys.
Hey, Angelo.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Something for you here. Listen to this.
A third of all deaths in this nation are from nursing homes. New York State, we're only about 28% only. But we're below the national average in number of deaths in nursing homes. But who cares? 33, 28 died in a hospital, died in a nursing home. They died.
The great governor of the state of New York, Andrew Cuomo.
I wonder where he...
He just like Hillary Clinton. What did she say about Benghazi?
What difference does it make?
Yeah, exactly.
What difference does it make, right? Yeah. The two of them.
Yeah.
Two Democrats, the way they talk.
I wonder if he's polishing up his Emmy. I wonder where he's going to be putting it.
I got an idea where you can put it.
Okay. All right. Fair enough, guys. Listen, thanks so much. And Andrew, we will talk again tomorrow, my friend.
You got it.
Hey, thanks,
we'll
Angelo.
Angelo, hang on. Andrew, don't hang up. I got to talk to you.
All right. He's going to, that'll be off mic, but there we go. Thanks so much, guys. Going to take our final break, and when we come back, among other things, the top 10 most watched Super Bowl games.
Open up on the wall and da-da-da-da hug it. So baby, can't you see that you were meant for me? I want your loving, yes sirree.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest-running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works. By the way, we are here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. And if you cannot listen live, thanks to Big Ed, you can listen to us on podcast. Yes, indeed. He puts them up there for us. Just go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. Ourfreedomworks.com. And look at the top, click on podcast, and there you go. So, I wanted to talk about real briefly, Lori Lightfoot is the mayor of Chicago. And she has told the Chicago teachers to get the hell back to the classrooms. And they said, no, they're not going to go back. The union is representing the public schools and said that they don't want to go back until there is a safer environment for the teachers and the kids. In the meantime, these kids in Chicago have been out since what, February or March? Come on, man. As Joe Biden would say, this is unbelievable. And so the unions are not listening to Lori Lightfoot, and she's a Democrat. So it's a real mess.
But that's Mayor Beetlejuice.
That's Mayor Beetlejuice. You know, it's funny. She really, if you do see the movie and you see her, I'm beginning to think she combs her hair like the guy that played intentionally. Mm-hmm. I'm beginning to think she's doing it.
That's hair by electrocution, by the way.
Yes. All right. Oh, my goodness, you're funny. Also, this is interesting. You know how the newspaper industry is suffering a slow, painful death right now? Mm. A West Virginia news publisher has filed a suit against Google and Facebook, who together now take in about half all the digital ad dollars in the country. And they are facing, Google and Facebook, they're facing antitrust charges right now. Anyway, this West Virginia company, HD Media, owns several newspapers in West Virginia, and they claim that Google has so monopolized the ad market that it's helping extinguish the local newspapers across the country. It alleges also that Google and Facebook conspired to further their dominance with secret agreements between them, which would, you know, constitute a conspiracy. Now, I don't think he's going to get very far. Here in Tampa Bay, we only have one newspaper and 2 day a week delivery now. I mean, you can't get a newspaper, a paper, except on Wednesdays and Sundays now.
Well, the problem with our local rag is the fact that it's so leftist.
It's always been that way.
It's so bad, I wouldn't dare buy a subscription to that. So you lost half your audience right there.
Right. Yeah.
If you're going to pick, it used to be you reported the news, but they decide on which news to report. Remember the big boat parade for Trump?
Yes,
indeed. Didn't think anybody'd be there.
They didn't give it one letter in their paper when it happened. Yeah, no, there's no question about it. They're far left. And I did subscribe to, in fact, I subscribed to both papers. We had the Tampa Tribune and we had the St. Pete Times, and I would get both of them delivered back several years ago. And unfortunately, the Tribune went down.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're left with the Times. The Times is slowly dying. They're trying on digital. I'm not even sure that that's making them a lot of money, the digital deal.
No.
Because you can go on, let's be honest, you can go online and pretty much read anything you want anywhere without spending any additional money. So there you go. All right, Ed. I'm very interested to see, Ed, if you know, the number one most watched Super Bowl game. So I went to BleacherReport.com and I got the top 10 here. All right?
So it'd be the most TV watched.
Yeah, these are, the most.
The
most watched on television. Yes, I would have to say that. Right. There we go. All right, here we go. Number 10. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure Super Bowl XL, it was done in 2006. And this is the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Seattle Seahawks. and they got 90.7 million viewers.
That was in Detroit, I think. 40? Isn't that 40?
Let's see. That might be 40, yeah. That sounds right. Yeah, 40. Yeah, 40. Okay. I think. Okay. Number nine. Super Bowl 27 was number nine. It was 1993. It was the Dallas Cowboys crushing the Buffalo Bills 52-17. 91 million people continued to watch that onslaught. All right. Number eight. Super Bowl 20, 1986. The Chicago Bears really stomped on the New England Patriots 46-10. And they got 92.6 million people to watch it. All right. Number seven. XLI.
41.
That was in 2007. Yeah, that sounds right.
41.
Sounds like it. Okay. That was Peyton Manning.
Mm.
Finally overcoming his reputation as a great regular season quarterback who couldn't win the big one when the Colts defeated the Bears 29-17. 93.2 million people. All right. Number six. Super Bowl 30. 94.1 million people, 1996. The Cowboys came out on top of the Pittsburgh Steelers, 27-17. All right, number five. Super Bowl, let's see. Oh, goodness, I don't know. It was in 2008, XLII.
No, 42.
Yeah, that's right. You're right, 42. 97.4 million people watched the New England Patriots. Let's see. Play the New York Giants.
Oh. That was my pick.
The New England?
That was, remember, the New England was undefeated.
Yeah, had a perfect season. Yes. And we're looking to cap it off.
I thought that'd be it.
And the 12-point underdog Giants won.
Yeah. Huh,
what a surprise. All right, number four. Super Bowl XL, that's 43 in 2009. 98.7 million people. The Steelers finally emerged victorious over the Arizona Cardinals in that game.
That was a Ray J. That was here.
Oh, okay. Very good. Number three. Super Bowl 44, 2010. 106.5 million. They broke the 100 million mark in that one. The first Super Bowl to do so saw the New Orleans Saints beat the Indianapolis Colts, 31-17. Number two. Super Bowl 45 in 2011, 111 million people. Aaron Rodgers cements his status as one of the greats as the Packers defeat the Pittsburgh Steelers 31-25. All right, Ed. I know that screwed up your pick. Do you know who the most watched Super Bowl was?
I'm going to let's just stay in order and go to 47.
You're off by one. It's Super Bowl 46 in 2012. 111.3 million people, just a little bit more than the Aaron Rodgers game. Most watched Super Bowl, a rematch of the epic upset from 4 years earlier, the New York Giants and the New England Patriots. And the Giants were once again a wild card underdog, and yet again they pulled out the victory, winning 21-17.
I think because the numbers go up every year in successions of all the new devices you can watch
about. Right.
So I think that's how the viewership goes up.
That's absolutely
especially around
true.
The world.
No question about it. No question. You know, it'll be interesting to see how many watch the Super Bowl this coming Sunday in Tampa. All right, my friends, thank you so much. We will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, freedom works.